It's good to see everyone out tonight. Sheree sent me this picture that I think John's getting ready to put up for me earlier this week. And I found it fascinating. And it made me think of Psalms 19, where that says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." And so it's a picture of this fly that has pretty much a perfect image of ants on its wing. It's just, it's a small fruit fly, and it carries on each wing a detailed image of an ant-like insect, complete with six legs, a defined thorax, antenna, tapered abdomen. It's not random. You can see it's a clear picture, and it's anatomically correct. And what this fruit fly does is when he feels threatened, he doesn't just sit still, he starts waving his wings. And he turns these wings into an illusion of moving ants. And it mimics a group response, discouraging predators that most of them that are going to be after this little fly, they avoid aggressive or swarming insects. So it's a defensive system that makes this fly look like he's more than just a fly, that he's also part of this ant-like insect, and other predators avoid him because of this characteristic that he has. And some call this evolutionary art, or art without an artist, so that you can have art without an artist. But we know that this is God. This is not something that evolution could create, because the image has to be correct. It has to be a mirror image. It has to be recognizable to other creatures that are afraid of that type thing. And a half-formed picture wouldn't be useful to this fly. You know, if he just had a half a body of an ant, no legs, no head, other predators wouldn't avoid him. They wouldn't see what he wanted them to see. So they have to be fully functional. And from the beginning, they have to be fully functional. There's no room for trial and error, because there's a design here. And that's God's design that gives this little fly some additional defense against predators. Let's look at the bombardier beetle. Okay, so here's another little of God's creatures. And it's a bombardier beetle. And it has the ability to secrete. You can see there where it's secreting this mist or foam. And it's a high pressure, and he can direct it at his enemy. And it comes out as a compound. And it's very noxious. And he stores these two compounds in two separate chambers. And what's amazing about it is whenever he's threatened, he mixes these two substances and secretes it and shoots it out. And it's really hot. It says it's comes out around 100 degrees Celsius. And which I understand in Celsius is the boiling point of water. So it's enough to kill insects. A lot of insects he can just kill with this compound that he sprays out. So, you know, he has to be able to do that without damaging himself. He can't store that in himself. he has to store it as two separate compounds, mix it, shoot it, all at one time. And it's a pretty significant explosion that he shoots this out with. And they're mixed at the very instant that they're needed. He can't pre-mix them, he can't store them, it's too hot. So he has to store it, he has to create it, shoot it out. And the pressure of this explosion, he can drive it out a pretty good distance. And we can see that these are some of God's creations. These aren't things that evolution creates. And this mixture is so noxious that even frogs, after they swallow one of these beetles, they'll vomit him up. Because if he's still alive and he's spraying that inside that frog, the frog just, it's too hot, it's too noxious, he just vomits him out. And what evolutionists try to continue to say that's an incremental thing. You know, that this beetle just kind of evolved that way. And we recognize that, you know, what's easier to believe? That this beetle figured out how to produce these two chemicals, and then he figured out how to store them in separate chambers, and then he figured out, you know, how to mix them in just the right proportion, and then he figured out how to expel it, and then he figured out how to create a nozzle to aim it. And how many generations of beetles would it have taken before they got that right? What if the first generation or two of beetles, instead of generating a noxious chemical, created a perfume, or created a tangy grilling sauce before it figured that out? How many would have been eaten before they figured out that it's not good to generate perfume or something good? You have to generate something bad. And so, and they even talk about lizards. There's a lizard that has similar coloring and similar, and walks similar to this beetle. And they say, well, this lizard, he's learned to mimic the beetle. He likes the defense that the beetle has, so he's learned how to mimic that beetle so that he can, other animals will think that he's that beetle and they'll leave him alone. You know, if the lizard could figure that out and could decide that I need to be this color and then I need to walk this way in order to everybody to think I'm this beetle rather than God making them that way, you know, then why didn't they just go the whole nine yards and create the chambers and create the noxious compounds and just be the beetle? So when we look at creation, we can see the handiwork of God. The Bible tells us that there's this handiwork of God. And we can see that it's much easier to believe what God says than what a lot of these scientists are telling us. And we don't need to be, I think the last few years have taught us one thing about, well really I guess probably the last, especially the last 5 years, probably more than that, have taught us that we can't always believe the science. That scientists distort and sometimes just outright lie about the effectiveness of things and whether they're good for us or harmful to us, or a lot of things that we've learned in the last 5 to 10, 15 years have told us that people will distort the truth. And we have the truth here. We have the Bible, and we can depend on it. We can believe it. We know that what it tells us is the truth. And we've had some of the same things being told us about medicines. We've had the same thing told us about transgenderism. You know, that we know in the beginning that God created man and woman, and he created them for a purpose. He created for them to reproduce. You know, if God had made as many mistakes in Genesis in creating man and woman as he supposedly makes today, then everybody in Genesis would have been sterilized. We wouldn't even be here. If we're told today that God has made so many mistakes, and we look around and we're told that, you know, God puts the wrong people in the wrong bodies, and if he had done this since the beginning, so many people would have been sterilized that I don't think we would have even be here. Because we know that's not true. We know that God puts us in the right bodies. And we know that the Bible is true, and what God tells us is true. And that's really the only point I wanted to make tonight, is that God's law is perfect. It's what Psalms 19 is all about. That his word is true. We can depend on his word. We can look at creation. We can see that what he has created is good. He said it was good. That God has created the heavens and the earth. That there is no evolution. And that we need to stand strong and be diligent in our beliefs, be confident in our beliefs, that the record is on our side, that evolution couldn't have happened as they say it happened, that everything comes from God. And once we recognize that, then we recognize that God also controls our salvation. That once we recognize that God created us, and we give him the glory for doing that, then we recognize that the rest of what he said in the Bible is also true, and that salvation is from God. And if we want to be saved, then we have to do what God tells us to do. We have to obey his word in the Bible and follow that. So I would encourage you, if you haven't done that, if you've, you know, sometimes we get swept up and we believe the things that are error, and we believe some of the things that we're told, but we need to get back to a firm understanding of God's word and not let ourselves get drawn away by false statements and bad doctrine. So if you recognize that God controls your salvation, that he is in control of the steps that we need to follow to be saved, then you need to seriously consider making your life right with God. And tonight is the best time to do that. So if you're need to make your life right with God, we encourage you to come forward now as we stand and sing. Mm-hmm.